Yeah, so Steve, I joined in September of 24. We announced a three-phase development plan in November of 24, but it required a lot of capital. And so when we were here last year, we had just finished raising about 300 US of equity, but we still had a long way to go. So in the first quarter of this year, we announced and closed essentially three different debt facilities or royalties for about 800 million US to complete the recap. So we've now recapitalized the balance sheet, and now we're just moving forward on that execution plan of the three-phase plan that we laid out in the fall of 24 that will see production rise from 50,000 ounces this year to more than 600,000 ounces early in the 2030s.
Good day here. I am here with Richard Young, President and CEO of i80 Gold. Richard, we are at the Rick Rule Symposium 2026. How's it going so far?
Well, it's going fantastic. We gave a presentation earlier today on the outlook for gold and, you know, looking to invest in gold equities through this upcoming cycle where we see higher gold prices. It's great to be back. Last year was our first year, and it was so informative to meet retail investors and see how they evaluate investment opportunities, the sources that they go to. It was a great experience, and we were thrilled to get invited back.
Well, this is where I met you last year, and I hear from Katerina that you've got a lot going on. I'd love to hear firsthand just what's new. I mean, I haven't seen you in a good year.
Yeah, so Steve, I joined in September of 24. We announced a three-phase development plan in November of 24, but it required a lot of capital. And so when we were here last year, we had just finished raising about 300 US of equity, but we still had a long way to go. So in the first quarter of this year, we announced and closed essentially three different debt facilities or royalties for about 800 million US to complete the recap. So we've now recapitalized the balance sheet, and now we're just moving forward on that execution plan of the three-phase plan that we laid out in the fall of 24 that will see production rise from 50,000 ounces this year to more than 600,000 ounces early in the 2030s.
So before we get into that plan, for those who are not familiar with i80 Gold, if you can tell us a little bit about your jurisdiction, your projects, your flagship, and then if you can give us that timeline you're talking about.
All right, so first of all, the name i80 is from Interstate 80, which transverses northern Nevada, where, you know, Barrick and Newmont's largest assets are. So we're located on one of the two gold belts. We have four past producing operations that were owned by Barrick and Newmont that we acquired at lower gold prices, conducted some exploration programs, and today we've got 6.5 million ounces of measured and indicated gold resources, 7.5 million ounces of inferred, and 200 million ounces of silver. So between the four projects. And so last year through this year, we're completing infill programs to be able to move those resources into reserves, and we'll have feasibility studies or pre-feases on all five projects beginning this quarter and over the next three quarters. So we're moving forward. We're also refurbishing our Lone Tree plant that we picked up from Newmont. We're one of two companies with an autoclave. This is one of them. And the refurbishment is now well underway. It's on budget and schedule.
Where are you with capital, and how far does it take you? Will you be needing another raise at this point?
So we are fully recapitalized. We will not require any further equity dilution to be able to execute on this three-phase plan, including the potential of flipping phase two and three, which will allow us to bring Mineral Point, which is our largest and most valuable project, into phase two. So essentially we over-raised, and there were some comments, why did you raise so much? It was with the view that we might flip those two phases, and we hope to be able to do that. And we'll determine that over the course of the next 3 to 6 months.
So investors are here, there's excitement about gold. What are people most excited about regarding I-80, and what differentiates you from maybe other gold stories, and what kind of excitement are you finding regarding I-80 in particular?
You know, when you look at I-80, there are some pros and cons. So there are investors here, and generally that had invested in the company when it initially was spun out of Premier in 2021, really looking at that hub and spoke strategy that we're now executing on, but it took too long to evolve, people lost money. So there are some people here that aren't aware of the changes that have taken place, and it's a re-education, and that's the same generally speaking. You know, look, what I think makes us unique is that we're in Nevada, 100% Nevada, and these are brownfields, not a lot of capital required to execute on that plan.
Yeah.
And there are very few companies, Nevada or elsewhere around the globe, that have the potential to move from 50,000 ounces to 600,000 ounces, but also be able to maintain that through into the 2050s, which we believe we'll ultimately be able to do just based on this asset base. But it's a complicated story with five assets plus the refurbishment of the autoclave. So it's all about trying to simplify the story for investors and demonstrate that there's a lot of value in this asset base and that we've got the right team to execute and be able to deliver on it.
So regarding your story being simplified, having five, and then just kind of consolidating, like, what do you find being the most misunderstood of either your history that people have misunderstood, or what I-80 is today?
I don't know that it's misunderstanding it. It's just for those investors who, you know, want to roll their sleeves up, it's a lot. It's easier if it's a single project, like Esquina, for example, that's in development, developing a great project. It's easier for investors to understand that. With essentially six projects, it's more complicated. And that's probably our struggle in terms of conveying the story. So we are working to simplify it. But, you know, look, stepping back, We put the plan together September of 24. We're nearly 2 years forward. We're on track, and we're executing, and we'll continue to execute. And as we progress, ultimately, the stock will move to fair value. We just got some work to do to simplify and tell the story so the investors understand the key milestones and the value creation potential of this asset base.
So your five or six assets that you have, when I hear six, you know, some people might hear opportunity, and some might hear risk and, right, and complications. If you can just kind of, what kind of risk do you see, and then are there advantages of working so many?
You know, that's a great question. You know, internally, what our chief operating officer would say, and Paul Chowrun, I've worked with him before. He's the best mining engineer that I've ever worked with, including a decade and a half at Barrick. If he were in the chair, he would say, look, there's a lot of volume of work, but nothing's technically challenging, and we've got a great team. It's just a large volume of work that's underway. We feel comfortable that we can execute, and frankly we have executed over the last 2 years if you look at what we announced and where we stand. We're very comfortable that we can execute on this plan. You know, we don't see a lot of risk in the execution plan. We're moving the 5 PAs to FISAs. You know, other than with a couple of our underground, the grade was mismodeled, so the grades are going to be a little bit lower. We're not seeing major variances from the PAs. We'll deliver the ounces, and ultimately we believe these ore bodies are getting better. So we're very comfortable with the PAs and the path forward and the value that we're ultimately going to create.
You have 5 different stories. If you can give us a timeline of what we can look forward to, do you have any key milestones, and how do you tell that story in a way that, if you can help me understand, how do you manage the milestones, if you can?
Yeah, so you know what's interesting, Steve, is we're actually a mini Nevada Gold Mines. Nevada Gold Mines has a number of ore sources, both open pit and underground, that feed different process facilities. We're the same way. So we've got 3 underground operations, 3 underground deposits, 1 in operation, 1 in construction, and the third one will likely get deferred for 10 to 15 years because it feeds a central process facility that's being refurbished. So I think the easiest way for investors to think about our company is we're one of 2 companies with an autoclave technology in Nevada, which means we can process refractory materials, which other than Nevada Gold Mines, nobody can. And so we'll produce roughly about 200,000 ounces through that facility, being fed by 2 underground today and ultimately a third, at AISC of somewhere between $15,000 and $2,000 an ounce for probably the next 15 or 20 years. And then we've got 2 oxide open pits that will ultimately develop that will process their material on site. But in addition to that, we've got another couple open pits that will likely bring into the development plan over time. So, you know, we've got a deep resource base that will allow us to move from 50,000 ounces to more than 500,000, 600,000 ounces, and maintain that through probably 2050.
So you mentioned technology that you have. Mm-hmm. What kind of advantage does that give you? Is the meters cost to drill, or I mean, what differentiates you from the other Nevada companies?
Yeah, so in Nevada, there are 2 types of material, oxide and sulfide. The oxide material, you can build a conventional carbon leach plant, or you can heap leach it, which are relatively low cost, easy to permit and build. Our autoclave facility, if you were trying to permit and build that, would probably take 6 to 8 years to permit and build, and probably cost $1.5 billion. So it's really prohibitive for a lot of companies who make refractory discoveries, sulfide discoveries, because that's the timeline and the cost is prohibitive. So the fact that we've got that facility, and that facility can treat our sulfide as well as our oxide materials, it's got a dual function, just gives us a unique ability to be able to execute on our plan, something that would be difficult for a number of other companies other than Nevada Gold Mines.
So you mentioned that you guys have the right team in place. If you can tell us a little bit about your experience, your background, and the people you have around you, and if you can not only just, I just want to know how much skin you have in the game, and if you can talk about other major shareholders or institutions as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So so I started my career at Barrick. I'm an accountant by training. Barrick had 25 people in the corporate office when I joined. Everybody was married with kids. I put my hand up, and I would joke that in my nearly a decade and a half. It was 25 years of service. I worked all the time.
Yeah.
I worked in every group. You know, I was in operations. I was in corporate development, project development. You know, built a project in South America after helping build Gold Strike in Nevada. Moved into IR, and then left with one of the senior Barrick people. Were hired by Newmont to build a permit to build a major project in Western Europe. And then Alan Hill and I IPO'd Teranga. We built it in a mid-tier merchant with Endeavor. Our group then stepped in to help out with Argonaut and sold that to Alamos. And then we came over here. So it's not just me. I work with about, you know, a dozen people that I've worked with over three or four companies over the last 15 or 20 years who are incredibly competent at what they do. And we're joining a I-80 team based in Reno. A lot of people I work with at Barrick that I refer to as Nevada Mining Royalty because they've worked at every big mine in Nevada. They know everyone. They're very competent. And so, look, I would say we've got the best group that I've ever worked with. Everybody's working together. Everybody knows what the plan is. You know, it's a great group. This is a lot of fun. In terms of skin I have in the game, I own about 1% of the company, fully diluted, and the majority of which I've bought in the open market. And so our major shareholder is Condire. They came in, they're a 10% shareholder on the equity issue last year. But we've got Sprott, Libra, and a number of other high net worth individuals who have come into the story that aren't looking to make two or three times on their money. They're looking for the 10 bagger. They're looking for us to execute on this plan through the balance of the decade. And so we've got a lot of strong support. Institutions are now just coming into the story now that we've completed the recap. Before the recap, I think institutionally they just found a little bit too high risk. They wanted to see how the recap shaked out. And now we're starting to have those serious conversations, in part because of Franco coming in. They've, you know, talked kindly about us. This is the fifth company in a row I've worked with for Franco, so they've been a great supporter, and they've been very helpful to attract some of their shareholders into the story.
Did I hear you say that people are interested in you, and the people that are interested in you are looking for 10 baggers? What kind of upside do you potentially see here? Because that piqued my interest.
Yeah, so it's not me, it's the team. And, you know, the group that's come in, look, we laid out in the PAs a NAV of $5 billion at $3,000 gold. So at today's gold prices, it's roughly double that. And that's roughly about a $10 US share price at one times NAV. So, you know, a lot of these shareholders came in at 50 cents to a dollar. And they would like to see that $10. Look, internally, our goal is to build the $10 to $15 billion NAV over the next 4 to 5 years. And that's our goal. And so if we execute on that, you know, Nevada assets historically have traded the best premiums of anywhere globally, including Canada, Australia, and elsewhere. And so we believe that as we execute, we'll move to fair value.
So if people want to follow your story, I-80 Gold, if you can tell us where people can find you, your website, and just if they have any questions, who do they reach out to?
So Steve, we trade both on the New York and the Toronto Stock Exchange. Our ticker symbol on the New York Stock Exchange is IAUX. On Toronto, it's just IAU. We're I-80 Gold, named after Interstate 80 in Nevada. And we look forward to any questions that any of your audience might have for us.
Richard, it seems like you got a lot going on. It's great to see you. You've accomplished a lot in the last year. I hope you enjoy the rest of the Rick Rule Symposium.
Thank you,
Steve. Good to see you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.